Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So do you guys remember, Pete Davidson? Do you know the name Pete Davidson? He's an actor and a comedian. Saturday Night Live is what he's most known for. He had a performance at the Alberta Bear in Billings, Montana last night, but apparently he was spotted at a couple of locations downtown. Anyway, I'm getting the photographs and more on our Montana Talks website right now. I remember Pete Davidson. The reason I know Pete Davidson, I don't watch Saturday Night Live much anymore. I mean, as you probably have heard, I can practically quote every episode from the 1990s, you know, with Chris Farley and of course Wayne's World and so much more, but I don't watch it too often. But I remember Pete Davidson, he's the guy who took a shot and made fun of Dan Crenshaw, you know, the one-eyed Navy SEAL congressman out of Texas who wears the eye patch. Well, Pete Davidson mocked Dan Crenshaw, and I think a lot of people thought he just mocked him in a really low class kind of way. And but then Saturday Night Live actually had Dan Crenshaw come on SNL, standing and sitting next to Pete Davidson, and Davidson apologized on the air, and it was a great segment, it was a great clip, and then you know, Pete Davidson was like, well, you know, since I made fun of you, why don't we pull up a picture of me and you can say something to make fun of me. And then they had this great segment where Crenshaw just has, you know, like five or six hilarious lines making fun of Pete Davidson. Anyway, so that's who Pete Davidson is, for those of you that aren't familiar. But yeah, he was spotted, apparently he stopped in, saw the crew at the Hooligans Sports Bar, and then he also dropped in at the Yesteryears Antique Mall, which looks like a cool little shop. The Yesteryears Antique Mall, bought some stuff. So anyway, getting a write-up on our Montana Talks website. So there you go. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal with us here every Monday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Evelyn, hope you had a great 4th of July, and what's the good news to start with here this morning?
Well, I have to say that the good news has to be that we are still experiencing a lot of new business starts. I recall talking quite some time ago about how the number of new business starts was on a decline, and that was not a good sign for our economy. But things seem to have turned around for some reason. There are almost 60% more new businesses being created each year in the United States, according to an economist, John Haltwanger, who's really focuses on studying this subject. And prior to COVID, there, with its forced closures and slowdowns of business, he called the rate of new business starts as being quite gloomy.
Interesting. So, yeah, almost 60% more new businesses being created each year. That's the top headline in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. All right, Evelyn, hold that thought. We'll hit our hard break here, get to the news and weather, and then jump back right into your business news headlines with the Big Sky Business Journal right after this. We'll start with the independent business news.
The Brett Bear Minute.
The Supreme Court has ruled that presidents have broad immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts carried out while in office, a decision earning praise from former President Donald Trump and a swift rebuke from President Biden and many on the left. Host of Sunday Night in America on Fox and the Trey Gowdy podcast, Trey Gowdy.
I guess I'm naive. This ruling benefits all presidents, past and future. It's a victory for the executive branch. I guess for those who wanted to see the former president in a courtroom standing trial again between now and November, it's a loss. But perhaps somebody can correct my recollection. I think former President Obama may have ordered the killing of an American citizen who is a threat to our national security. I have never heard anyone argue that he should be prosecuted for that.
I'm Brett Baer, and we'll see you next time. Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to the business headlines here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. So, yeah, Evelyn, very interesting to see these numbers that you've got here in the hot sheet. 60% more new businesses are being created each year. And it looks like what is driving it, remote working, suburban growth, and tech startups. I find that very interesting because I know that more and more of these companies that went remote maybe in the early years of COVID-19, 2020, 2021, I know a lot of them have been pulling back on that. I've got some friends that have been commuting back and forth. And they were telling me, I don't get to spend as much time in Montana anymore because they want me in the office now. And so I wonder if that's encouraging more people to kind of bail on these other businesses and start their own so that they can work remote and things like that.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think that whole thing is kind of a mixed bag. It depends on what kind of business it is and even what kind of tech business it is. There's just when you're kind of reading about all this, there's just so many aspects of tech businesses now, and not all of them function in the same way and everything. So I think that while that is true for some, others they need people on site and. So I think it's still going to be a while before we see the fallout, what it really is.
Yeah, that's right.
On the road.
Yeah, no, that's right. Well, and the tech industry, I think, is kind of struggling, particularly in the Silicon Valley area. So I wonder if a lot of those people who are seeing some of those tech industries struggle are then thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do? And maybe they're launching their own businesses, et cetera. So, yeah, those are interesting numbers. Speaking of small business, there was also some other good news. The United States Supreme Court basically overturned a 1984 decision known as the Chevron deference. And what that 1984 decision basically meant was, okay, Congress passes a law. The law doesn't say that the federal agency can do A, B, C, or D, but it's ambiguous. So the court basically said, well, if a law is ambiguous and it doesn't specifically say that something is against the law or allowed under the law, we will let the federal agency, we will let the federal government, we will let these unelected bureaucrats decide what the law is. And that allowed all of these federal agencies to just go crazy writing new laws, bypassing Congress, unelected bureaucrats basically writing new laws. And that was overturned now by the Supreme Court saying, no, if Congress doesn't say something's against the law, it's not against the law. And so, but you heard a little bit of my conversation with Perry, or read maybe a little bit about my conversation with Perry Penley, who was acting a Bureau of Land Management director under President Trump. What was your thoughts?
Well, I didn't get to hear most of it, but I was interested because Mr. Pendley used to be part of an association that defended property rights and business issues. And during that period, I got to interview him a couple times, and I always found him really fascinating. But he said one thing to me that I've never forgotten, and I think has a lot of bearing, is He said that most regulations on businesses are unconstitutional, and the reason they are allowed to stand is most businesses can't afford to fight them. They don't have the money and resources for the legal costs involved if they're going to stay in business. And I've always remembered that, and it's always made sense to me because the fact of the matter is the reason we have this bureaucratic world is because Congress has basically dropped the ball. They don't do what they're supposed to do, and so it gets passed on. It allows usually the president to take up an issue then, and of course, then they proliferate all of these bureaucracies, and they have been handed incredible power. They do the job of the Congress and the president many times, and they have very little oversight. When they are applied, when the regulations are applied, they hit a small segment of the business world, so most of the people don't even know it's happening. And yet it affects all of us because these regulations, I've read that regulations affect the price of everything in a drugstore by four times. You're paying hugely more for many products because of regulations. And I think it's been a runaway whole system.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's targeted agriculture, oil, gas, coal, and then as you appropriately point out, small business. And Congress deserves its hits for not clearly saying, well, this is the law, this is not the law. But on the other hand, like, our founders set up a system that was designed to slow government. But what this 84 decision, the Chevron deference, did was it allowed them to grow government massively, not through congressional laws, which can be a slow, process, but through executive fiat and just unelected bureaucrats and presidents of either party whipping out their phone and their pen, right? So major good news decision out of the Supreme Court. If you missed our conversation with Perry Penley, who goes back to the Reagan administration years fighting for the Rocky Mountain West, full audio on our Montana Talks website. More news with Evelyn Pyburn right after this.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
Even with moisture over the last few weeks, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says there are a few areas that still have D3 and D4 drought.
There's extreme to exceptional drought areas, still very limited across the country, and in fact confined to parts of just two states. First, New Mexico, we continue to see some D3 and D4, extreme to exceptional drought. And then as you move to Texas, we do have some limited coverage of D3. D0 is used for areas going into or coming out of drought. And certainly with all of the flash drought we have seen in the month of June, many of these areas seem to be heading in the direction of drought. So specifically looking at the D0 and the drought areas, if you encompass all of those categories, we have seen a rather dramatic increase from just under 26% of the country back at the minimum on June 4th, all the way up to 47.3% of the country experiencing D0 or drought by July 2nd. And over the last 4 weeks, that has been a more than 21 percentage point increase, with significant increases in that D0 or abnormal dryness coverage across the northern high plains, parts of the northwest, portions of the southern plains, and then more broadly, parts of the central and eastern corn belt and the southeastern United States, all seeing either the development of abnormal dryness or the return of drought during the month of June.
And we can expect to see more drought expansion in the weeks ahead. I'm Lane Nordblund.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Back to your business news headline and much more. We've got Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal with us here every Monday in the first half of the 7 o'clock hour of the program. Evelyn, kind of a random side note as we talk about, business and new business starts. I thought it was interesting. So I did a story about, Dan Bongino, the great Dan Bongino, nationally syndicated talk show host, filling Rush Limbaugh's time slot right after our program here on Montana Talks on several of our affiliate stations after we wrap up our statewide show in the 9 o'clock hour. He was in Big Sky Country, and I shared this headline about, hey, Dan Bongino shows Montana some love, and Montanans show their love in return. And you know, one of the negative Nancys on Facebook said, "Montana's had too much love. Montana's had too much love," and I get where they're coming from. So I joked. I was like, you know, this goes back to my one in, one out policy. Whereas, okay, we can let people into Montana, but we're going to have to get rid of some folks at the same time. So all you pro-Hamas protesters, you people, you radical left-wing activists, you go, and then somebody else gets to come in. That's our one-in, one-out policy. But anyway, I did think it was interesting. Tourism numbers are down. Apparently, the lodging tax collections are down, so tourism numbers are down. I wonder if the Yellowstone effect is kind of wearing off, or if high prices are scaring off some tourists.
I don't know that I have an idea on that. I kind of thought it was had increased because of all of the Yellowstone TV program and everything. Maybe it's. It's our cold summer. It seems to me this summer has been pretty cool.
Well, wait a day, because tomorrow morning they'll be chanting about global warming once again. They didn't want to talk about global warming the last month, but they'll be back at it when we start to see the extreme heat, for us at least anyway, over the next few days. Electric vehicles for School District 2. Now, there's several school districts across Montana that are starting to buy electric school buses, not because it makes the most economic sense or whatever, or because the things will be, you know, the most effective, but there's apparently a pile of grant money available. And so a lot of school districts are saying, well, hey, if they're, you know, throwing out all this money, we'll take it. But what more did you find out? You've got a headline in the hot sheet about that this morning as well.
Yes, well, a government grant of $3.2 million will purchase electric school buses for Billings School District 2 this coming year, and in partnership with First Student, which is the district's transportation contractor. The grant through the Montana Department of Environmental Quality will cover the cost of purchasing the buses and constructing the charging infrastructure. And one of the bits of information I found was that typically an electric school bus costs about $400,000, which is about four times the cost of a regular school bus. One of the most interesting things that came through, though, as I read the reports of different aspects of school buses, is that public schools seem to have mounted a new reasoning besides the threat of global warming for using electric buses. They are concerned now about the exposure of diesel to our children. They are pointing out that diesel exhaust is known as a carcinogen, and children are being exposed to it on a daily basis, and the electric school bus has no exhaustion, is therefore much safer for school children.
Oh, brother. That makes me wonder, how many years have Americans been subjected to diesel engines, right? And it's like, yeah, we look at how our standard of living has historically climbed. I mean, not only our standard of living, but life expectancy climbed, soared through those years of riding around in diesel vehicles, right?
Right. It's always interesting, and it gets repeated over and over, and therefore, you know, it's kind of an official lament that this is the reason for this. Another school district in the state, Havre, has used electric school buses last year.
Yeah, Havre has it.
Pardon me?
Oh, I just said Havre has it. Sorry for my injection. I had to throw that liner in there for our Havre friends.
Not even cold weather was a detriment. Apparently, researchers are finding ways to enable EVs to deal with a cold. A system called e-thermal These thermal bank is separate from the main EV battery and combines a chemical heat pump with microwave energy to produce heating or cooling on demand.
Huh. Very interesting. I tell you what, Evelyn, hold that thought. We got our Fox News update here, and then we'll come back to you in 60 seconds, if you can. Stand by and back after this Fox News update. Okay, it's not pulling up for us. That's all right.
Four more top Democrats, including Jerry Nadler, called for Biden to withdraw from the presidential race over mental fitness concerns. President Biden hosting a NATO summit in D.C. this week. Senator Lindsey Graham tells CBS.
Okay, we'll just skip that. Yeah, Caden, you can go ahead and pop that down. We can skip that for today. All right. By the way, breaking news alert from the New York Times. President Biden said in a letter to congressional Democrats that he is, quote, firmly committed to staying in the race, rebuffing calls to drop out. We're going to talk more about that story here in just a few minutes with Ashley Smith Thomas. All right. Evelyn, back to Evelyn Pyburn here. Yeah, Evelyn, you know, folks know I've been very critical of this Green New Deal scam and very opposed to any mandates with regard to electric vehicles. But you know, look, for if you're just tooling around town, you know, driving here and there back and forth from work, if all you do is stay in town by and large with that EV, I think there's folks who really like it. There's a one of the radio hosts in Bozeman on one of the country stations drives one of these Ford Lightning F-150 EVs or whatever, and he really likes it. But he will, you know, tell you that, you know, he's just cruising around town, and it works even well in the cold because, you know, if you keep it indoors, keep it charged, or even if you keep it outdoors, if you're keeping it plugged in. So he loves it. It says it works great for him, et cetera. The challenge is, of course, when you have to drive long distances, and then, if you're, you know, hauling a cattle trailer or camper or anything like that, right? So, yeah, I think for just cruising around town, the school buses should be fine. Now, I wouldn't necessarily want to hop in one of these EV school buses, you know, for the wrestling match in Ronan or something like that, though.
No. Yeah, I always kind of wonder about that because, you know, the retirement communities, they have people for a long time have been using their little golf carts to travel around. But a lot of cities wouldn't let you do that. You know, you couldn't get licensed or anything to use a golf cart on. You look at that and you go, well, that's a natural market manifestation. They should have left it alone to see where that might have led. You know, as people embellished and improved golf carts. So, I think that there is a role that electric vehicles could play. But as long as government's involved, people are going to milk it for the subsidies and all the benefits. They're not going to be focusing on making it a marketable product, and it's certainly not.
Yeah. Well, and apparently this grant money, I think somebody mentioned this before, that apparently it came from a lawsuit against one of the car manufacturers for lying about carbon emissions or whatever. So it's like, oh, yeah, we're just sticking it to that car company. Yeah, okay, but who pays in the end? The consumer still pays in the end. So we're still paying for all this stuff. That reminds me, of course, Evelyn, you remember the late, great former Senator Conrad Burns. Did you ever see him driving his golf cart from the Billings Heights down to the Metro? He'd be right on Main Street, middle of three or four lanes of traffic, driving his golf cart. That was Conrad for you. I was just going to say, he had an electric vehicle before liberal Ken in Great Falls. All right.
Well, when I was doing research on this, I discovered that Billings is part of a clean cities program that maybe many people don't understand or realize, but it's a greater Yellowstone cleanup kind of project of the federal government of trying to get electric vehicles being used all around Yellowstone Park and cities in Montana,
wow.
Idaho.
Wow, even though we're this far away from Yellowstone National Park. That's interesting. Thanks so much, Evelyn.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Got a quick message on our Montana Talks app. This came from Right On John in Bozeman. California refuses to clean up their forests, so it is no surprise that another major forest fire is destroying more property and lumber that could be saved. It worries me with the closures of timber companies here in Montana, with no help from the leftist lawyers, that they will burn up, that we will burn up in excess, like what is happening in California. Right on, John. Thanks for the message. Great to hear from you. One other quick thing, real fast here. One other quick thing. You know, we were talking about all this grant money, all these kickbacks for EVs. I got to check with a good lawyer like David Noble. I wonder if I could use these EV subsidy scams to scam my way into an e-bike. I'd love to have an e-bike. I'd even ride that e-bike to work. Just give me a game trailer, a game cart on the back of it so that I can haul a deer or an elk out in the fall with it. Because, you know, I got the bad lower back like so many other veterans out there that, you know, I'd love an e-bike with the game cart. But that's about as far as I'm going to go on that one. All right, let's see. We've got Ashley Smith-Thomas, CEO and founder of the Freedom Fund. She used to be a fellow at the Heritage Foundation as well. Talking about the latest, lots of news that transpired over the last few days. If you took a few days off for the 4th of July holiday weekend. Ashley, great to have you back on the program. More and more calls now from leading Democrats for Joe Biden to step out of the race. What's your read? Let's see. Ashley, are you there? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I've got you now. There you go. Okay. Yeah.
There we go. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for having me. Absolutely. I mean, you look at what's been going on, and a lot's been transpiring, especially since the 4th of July. But on Friday, President Biden's campaign, they announced a massive media blitz of spending $50 million. And their main primary focus is to target battleground state voters. So their focus is on the battleground states, such as Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And they have talked about really hitting this aggressively, particularly your younger voters and your minority voters as well. And so with that, you know, you look at the New York Times poll, it shows that Trump now tops Biden at 49%, 43% among likely voters nationwide, in which some polls now show a larger lead by former President Trump being at 49% to Biden's 41%. Obviously, the past few days, again, the campaign has been really pushing for Biden to do these media blitzes, thinking that this is going to help by running ads and having a lot of media interviews. Their primary focus is to really target big events, so they're using a lot of the money to be able to push ads during the Olympic Games. They're on NBC here in July. That's coming up, Macy's 4th of July fireworks. And then, this is my favorite, the Bachelorette season premiere. So they're going to run ads on that as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here in the coming days for his campaign, if they're going to be able to salvage it or not.
So that's interesting. So they've got, you know, what, millions and millions of dollars in the bank, which is, you know, what, not only does he have, you know, the delegate votes that he already acquired through the primary process, but on top of that, he's got, you know, what, over $100 million in the bank? I can't remember the last cash count. So that's what he's got to hold over their heads to try to prevent them from pushing him out of the race. And so he's doing, so his campaign team is doing a major ad blitz now to try to salvage his campaign, basically, right?
Yes. So they're running a lot of ads and giving him media hits. However, here's the thing, even though he does have a large war chest, as I've said this before, that money is politics and politics is money. And it's a huge concern when you start having major Democratic donors start saying that they are withholding and they're not going to support his campaign, let alone not support the Democrat Party until they replace Biden. So over the weekend, the Disney heiress, Abigail Disney, she's the granddaughter of Roy O. Disney, made a statement that she will not donate one more dime to the Democrat Party until they replace Biden. And so when you have Democrat donors, especially lead top donors, influencers, leading voices, saying that they are disappointed, that they do not want Biden as president, they want him to be replaced, particularly after the horrible debate that he had with former President Trump a couple weeks ago. There's been a huge push and call for his replacement. So now the Democrat Party is in disarray. They're in panic because when you look at it, this not only impacts Biden. So yes, he may have a war chest. Yes, he may have the money, but the Democrat Party also relies on the funding to be able to help other candidates, especially those at the congressional level. So this isn't only going to impact Biden. This is going to impact those running on the House and Senate side as well on the Democratic ticket. And so looking at it holistically, the Democrats are not doing well, period, after that debate. Biden has been trying to convince people that he can still do well, that he's in it to win it, so to speak. He invited Democratic governors to the White House to try and convince them, you know, that everything is well. However, he stated that he will not be having any events or anything after 8 p.m. because he needs his rest. Well, as president, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's a 24-hour on-the-clock job. And so if he's not able to do that, then it's best that he does step aside. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, some people say he did an interview with George Stephanopoulos on ABC News a few days ago. Some say he did well. Others say he did not. And then on Thursday, on July 4th, he spoke and was a guest on WURD, which is a Philadelphia radio show program, in which he tripped up and stated that he is the first female black vice president to serve a black president. And so it's just not going well in his favor right now. And no matter how much the campaign pushes these ads, it's his blunders that, you know, they can't mask it. And so at some point, the Democrats are going to really have to look at, okay, can we replace him? Who would that be? How do we do this? And then I think it's going to be very telling as we watch the DNC, their convention, which will be August 19th through the 22nd, if they're going to do a switch. How are they going to try and convince the voters, let alone their donors, that Biden is the right pick? And right now, there's just not a whole lot of convincing.
Yeah, I saw that story and listened to the audio. I should have pulled it down for our listeners. But anyway, where Joe Biden says, he basically says he's a black woman. And I, you know, but then again, Joe Biden and his party believe that you can identify however you want to. So if Joe Biden apparently wants to identify as a black woman now to try to get reelected. I did think this was interesting. The Washington Examiner has a story here. Senate Democrats, led by Senator Mark Warner out of Virginia, were supposed to have a meeting discussing Joe Biden's support ahead of the presidential election. But apparently that meeting has been called off. I think this is my theory here. I think the reason they called this meeting off is because, you know, Senate Democrats, like liberal, two-faced Senator John Tester, they don't want to be asked about Joe Biden. I mean, John Tester went into hiding for several days after that debate. He had a big fundraiser with Adam Schiff down in California. And then we didn't see or hear squat from Tester for several days. He went into hiding. And so I think they called this meeting off because liberal, two-faced politicians like John Tester don't want this to be in the news that Senate Democrats held a meeting because he doesn't want to be asked about it.
Sure. No, I think that's a really great theory. I think people are uncomfortable. Some people have said, you know, like, well, why are more people not coming out against Biden? I think it's going to be a trickle effect. I think they're going to be watching to see how he does this week. Really, when you look at it, all eyes are on him, especially when he has these rallies and these swing states. How is he going to do? And again, with all these blunders that he has been having, I just don't see how Democrats can truly support him. You know, you look at these different governors as well. He was trying to convince them, and then you get Governor Newsom from California, and then you've got the governor of New York trying to rally Democrats behind Biden, saying that, you know, we need to support him and do everything we can to rally. But then you've got others that are like, no, wait a minute, there's just some concerns. And so it's, again, just goes to show that there's not unity within the Democratic Party. They're disarray, they're in panic, and the Dems are really going to have to make a decision because, again, I think what they're overlooking is that it's not just Biden. This is also going to impact the House and the Senate as well, because when people start voting down ballot, if Biden is not the candidate and they don't want to support him, and then they're withholding funding to the Democratic Party, well, the Democratic Party disperses those funds to those that are running. So again, then that's going to impact these congressional seats. So overall, the Dems are going to have to really look at and assess, okay, how do we make sure that all of the candidates are taken care of? How do we support and make sure that the Democrats win in November. And right now, I don't care how they try to slice it and strategize and try to salvage Biden. At this point, it's more and more looking like that former President Trump will be the winner in November. It's moving in that direction, and the Democrats are just going to have to come to grips with reality. And no matter whoever they try to put in replacing Biden, still Trump's going to be the one who wins in November.
That's what it sure seems like. Yeah, I think they're trying to weigh. Do they try to throw a Hail Mary pass? And then or if they try to do that, do the wheels completely come off the Democrat Party? Is it better to just roll with what they got? Ashley Smith-Thomas, always great to have you on the program. Founder and CEO of Freedoms Fund USA. Thanks for your time once again.
It's time to take the quiz. 5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Fox News commentary.
So-called environmental experts want you to start feeding your cats lab-grown meat to save Mother Earth. Here we go again. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
And I had nothing to do with her disappearance, but people still accuse me of it.
I sit down with the people who lived the nightmares.
I was in shock. I was just devastated.
The investigators who tirelessly worked on the case.
I feel for their families, and I really hope that they can catch this guy.
Bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the moment no one has been waiting for. Lab-grown meat as cat food is set to hit the U.S. market later this year. Meatly, a London-based startup, has created cruelty-free fake chicken cat food grown from a single fertilized egg. Tasty. The animal rights groups are all for it because no real chickens have to die to cultivate this fake meat in a petri dish. And the environmental crowd touts this process as better for the earth. But I guess it never dawned on these experts that since God placed felines on Mother Earth, they've been eating actual meat, and pretty sure that's not causing a climate apocalypse, even by delusional climate cultist standards. But let's keep in mind, some of these same climate zealots also think you should forego pets in the first place to reduce climate change. I will never eat lab-grown meat, and guess what? My pets won't either. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Physical cash is becoming less relevant as many Americans are going the digital route, but it's a good idea to have a reasonable amount of cash stashed at home in case of emergencies. Elliot Pepper, a financial planner and co-founder of Northbrook Financial, says that a small but reasonable amount of cash should be kept on hand at all times to provide protection in an extremely adverse scenario. You might think about having an amount enough to cover the absolute bare necessities for 2 months. Bare necessities include a minimum housing payment, food staples, batteries, water, gas, and basic living needs. The most recent survey from the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that the average monthly cost for food and gas alone is slightly less than a grand. That could serve as a baseline for how much to keep in cash, which would also vary depending on the size of your household, cost of living for your area, and whether you want to include other expenses in cash savings. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Have you ever noticed how in most of these other so-called news outlets, they never ask any tough questions of liberal Senator John Tester? This guy's responsible for shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline. Colstrip 1 and 2 shut down. Now they're going after 3 and 4. He isn't doing squat. He's responsible for the wide-open invasion on our southern border. And yet, look at the way these media outlets pander.
Data rates may apply.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Springs Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. These headlines are absolutely hilarious here. The Media Research Center, I went to their website to see if they had a good montage of the disastrous interview that Joe Biden had with George Snuffleupagus, the longtime Democrat Party operative who went from the Clinton White House to being the Democrat Party operative at ABC News. And he was the guy who landed the interview with Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden never does these interviews. But he did it. A sit-down taped interview. In fact, Tulsi Gabbard, former Democrat Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, remember she was just in Montana a few weeks ago. She said this via X back on July 5th. Just remember this. Biden's interview on ABC is taped, not live. And he's being questioned by Democrat operative George Stephanopoulos, a senior advisor in the Clinton administration and loyal servant of the deep state propaganda media complex. And that summed it up so very well. And yet, George Stephanopoulos was allowed to ask some tougher questions, which is proof that the Democrats are starting to bail on Joe Biden, because they've known that Joe Biden has been struggling for 4 years now. It's just that they've been lying to you about it. Two-faced John Tester, two-faced Tester, has been lying to you when he said that Joe Biden is 100% with it and is doing a good job. John Tester was lying to you, because that's who John Tester is. He's two-faced. He's a phony. He's no moderate. And he has to lie to stay in power. But, you know, I was thinking about this. These folks in the media that act like, oh, Joe Biden's struggling. All of a sudden, they act like this just happened two Thursdays ago. Like, oh, all of a sudden it just came out of nowhere. Like, anybody who has not only seen video clips, raw, unedited video clips of Joe Biden could tell you that this guy is clearly struggling. But even if you don't want to look at the raw video footage of Joe Biden trying to give a speech or answer basic questions or see the note cards that he's carrying in his hands, well, look at the decisions he's made. Look at the crazy people that he has appointed to fill key positions. You guys remember Sam Brittain? I was going to save this story for when John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, was here with us. You guys remember Sam Brittain? He's the guy that John Jackson and his sidekick, the Mighty Human Z, they call him Lipstick Lex Luthor. Lipstick Lex Luthor. He's the guy with the bald head, the bright red lipstick, and the creeper mustache. Here's the headline from MRCTV, from the Media Research Center. Biden's panty heister avoids prison for the third time in luggage theft case. TheDailyWire.com has this. Sam Brittain, dress-wearing ex-Biden official who stole women's luggage, gets cushy plea deal. Again, this guy's crazy. This guy's nuts. All you got to do is look at him and you know the guy is nuts. He got appointed with a top security clearance to a senior position in the Joe Biden White House. If you would appoint somebody nuts like this to a job like that, you've got to be nuts yourself. You had to have lost it in order to appoint a guy like this to a senior position with a national security clearance. All right. Now, you can't judge all books by their cover, right? Right. And I know some of you, you know what I'm talking about, because, hey, you don't feel comfortable with the way you look and you feel judged. Particularly if you've got bad teeth, you've got missing teeth, if you've got failing teeth. And look, I'm here to tell you, nobody else cares. You think they do, you know, hey, but they're, you know what, people aren't that judgmental. But I get it. Like, if you've got several missing teeth or failing teeth, you feel like everybody's judging you. You don't want to smile. You don't want to go out to eat. Or maybe you've got bad dentures that are loose, that are constantly falling out. Well, why not replace that whole set of teeth with the latest technology that you can get right here in Montana? I'm talking about dental implants from Yellowstone Family Dental. Go to MontanaDentalImplants.com.